If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show. I'm Caroline Barker. Coming up this week, we've only gone and reached the third round proper.
I mean, you can come in and bring your two children in under 12 for a fiver. And I just got fed up watching 50, 60 quid Premiership game. You know, we went the other way and said, look, let's fill this place. Let's fill it with fun. And
plus, we meet the players singing back to the supporters. This is the Non-League Football Show in association with Audio Boom. Let's bring in the team. Naughty and nice this week. I'll let you be the judge of that. Former manager at AFC Wimbledon, Hendon and Beyond, Dave Anderson, is with me.
Good evening.
We're going to say the naughty one is Dave Watters, because he had one job, which is to turn his computer on, and he can't manage that. So we may or may not hear from him throughout the show. Plenty to get through this week. We're going to start with the FA Cup in a moment, Mr. Anderson. But I know a big move that could influence you this week. And I'm not getting rid of you.
No, I've just been told that, well, to be fair, let's get it right. Simeon Akinola, who I signed from Bournemouth, and I sold him to Braintree with a sell-on clause, it would have to be said, has just signed for Barnet, I believe. And I know because Simeon took the time to ring me, which I thought was nice, and sort of just thanked me, you know. So it was, lovely, and I wish him well with it. And again, there's the lad that's gone from Hendersford to Arsenal. So we're still getting people coming out of our level into the dark side, and it's good, you know. I think it's great to watch kids sort of achieve, you know, bigger goals and make football their living, Cass.
Yeah, Cohen Bramall, who's going from Hendersford, 20-year-old as well, a left-back. And what we often say is you need time to graft and get into your groove, which he's obviously done at Hendersford.
Yes, he has. And, you know, you have to sort of praise Arsenal and Arsene Wenger, because I've seen the interview. Well, yes, we do. I think we do, because it's just... Not much, but just a bit.
I had to throw that caveat in, because half my family, when they're not being Chelmsford fans, are off supporting that team called Tottenham. So if I didn't throw that in,
you'd be in trouble. Thrown out of house, yeah. But I think, you know, he's taken the lad in on trial. He's put him in with his first team squad for 2 days, which doesn't happen a great deal at that level. You know, it's at the very, very top level. Seen what he liked, signed the player. And that will only encourage other people of his ilk. If he's good enough to do it, then I would expect that other Premier League clubs, Championship clubs, will now not be scared to come down into our level and sort of pick off the great players. And after all, I know we joke about it, I call it the dark side, but it's great to see sort of young players going to live the dream.
I'm tearing everything up because you've just used ilk in the first 5 minutes, and that's one word too many for you. You are listening to the Non-League Show. We'll be joined by Watters shortly, but let's talk FA Cup. So FA Cup third round this weekend then, Dave. Lincoln, Barrow, Stourbridge, Eastleigh, and Paul Doswell Sutton flying the flag. Hiya, Paul.
Hi, Caroline. How are you?
I'm all right. Is there actually a flag? If there's not, I'm disappointed.
I'm not sure we're flying any flags, but we're certainly optimistic.
Oh, good. Well, I mean, we should mention the other team you're playing, AFC Wimbledon. A lot's been made this week, Paul, about the fact that this was Wimbledon's first match when they returned to football 14 years ago. For you, though, does any of that, is that all out the window, just another team?
I think there's a bit more than that. I mean, for me personally, the players, probably not, because, you know, it's not in our most recent history. But certainly, you know, the club and the support base that we've got, I think the two clubs get on very, very well. I know at board level they still get on well. And there are some, you know, there are some players that have mixed. I mean, we've got Ross Warner and Matt Tubbs that played for Wimbledon recently. Their physio used to be my physio, and my physio used to be the Crazy Gang physio. So there's lots of little things there. But no, I mean, in fairness, we've just been concentrating on what we're doing this week.
Dave Anderson, I know you'll have something to say, maybe with the flag of the Wimbledon variety.
Yeah, I was just trying to work out where my flag is, but it absolutely has to be in the Wimbledon corner. Paul will understand that.
No, Dave, I totally get that. I don't blame you.
Yeah, no, but I can back that up. I think there is a really nice rivalry between the clubs. To be funny, they've always got on well. It's just one of them relationships that has worked. And I think for AFC Wimbledon fans, certainly not the players and Paul's players, but for the AFC Wimbledon fans, the ones I've sort of spoke to on social media and that in the last week, it's a special day for them to go back to Sutton now as FA Cup ties go. It's a tricky one for Wimbledon, I think, because Paul Say's doing well. It'll be a real test. And I don't think Neil Ardley and the dressing room will sort of look at it. There'll be no sort of quaintness or a walk down memory lane for them. But it's just one of them lovely situations that should be on TV.
Yeah, well, we can carry that argument on. I know, Paul, you probably think it should be on telly as well. For you, Paul, when you came to Sutton back in, 2008, how have you seen this club grow to the point where you're at now, doing so well at the top of non-league football, and there you are in the third round of the FA Cup?
Yeah, I think probably steadily and organically, really. You know, when I went there 8 or 9 years ago, it was in a poor state. I mean, I've referred to it this week as, you know, being like your old granddad's house. You know, a lovely person, but you know, he'd let his house get out of order in terms of, you know, they were still darning socks, and you know, it was that they got left behind really in a golden era. And when I went there, I mean, the place, you know, it was in a terrible state. The pitch was awful. The surrounds was awful. But what attracted me to the club was, you know, fantastic board, fantastic chairman, set of directors, and the volunteers there. And it's a proper non-league club. And one of the things that, you know, I was able to help with during the time that I've been there is the improvement of the infrastructure, you know, being able to put the pitch in. And it means that we've turned it into, you know, a fantastic community club where all our under-8s to 18s now train at the club. You know, we've got a fantastic disabled team that are going great guns. And, you know, a ladies team, two girls teams. I think it's over 250 kids we've got now with the club. And, you know, we needed that new lifeblood coming into the club. I always remember looking around at the support base and they would get 600 people win, lose or draw, but it was getting towards being that 60, 70, 80-year-old support base. And what we've managed to do, certainly over the last 2 or 3 years, is probably treble that amount. Our average gate's getting up towards 1,600, 1,700 now. And what's lovely is seeing a mixture of the support base. So, you know, it's been done steadily. It's not been done overnight. But it's been done under the same, you know, remit that's always at Sutton, which is every pound's a prisoner. Mm. And Bruce will make sure the club doesn't ever get into debt. And I think that, you know, I've always bought into that. And I actually admire that, to be honest.
Yeah, Bruce Elliott, the chairman, there was one phenomenal stat, and you touched on it there, to go from, what, 110 season ticket holders to add 1,000 to that, which most
clubs...
It's
1,100 now. I understand 1,120, which is bang on 1,000... 1,000 more. And, you know, we sat down 2 or 3 years ago, myself and Bruce, and, you know, I come up with a few ideas as to what I felt was appropriate to help us. But, you know, what they've done is embraced all the ideas and supported me in them. And one of those ideas was that we offered, you know, an affordable season ticket for a dad could bring his two kids in. And they can do that at our place for £5. I mean, you can come in and bring your two children in under 12 for a fiver. And I just got fed up watching 50, 60 quid Premiership game, because I take my children to Saints, and it was £100 to get in at times just to take myself and the two boys. So, you know, we went the other way and said, look, let's fill this place, let's fill it with fun, and, you know, let's fill it with people. Also, there is a business side to it that will spend money away from just playing the admission fee. And, you know, there's times we've made more money now on the bar and the burger van than we have actually on the attendance money. But it's worked for us, and players want to play in front of 1,600 rather than 600.
And sorry, Kaz, I was just going to come in, Paul, because obviously it's your second spell at the club. You know, you've moved on to a 4G pitch. You've seen big sort of change at the football club.
Dave, do you want me to get really technical with you now? There's no such thing as 4G. Everyone, it's actually a why not. There is only such thing as a 3G pitch. There is no such thing as 4G. And I was told that by the installers. And people keep making up this imaginary 4G, and there's no such thing. I think it's a phone mobile thing. It's certainly not a full pitch.
Well, on your 5G, Paul, as we were saying. But I've always said it should be in at our level of football, because it makes for, especially at this time of the year. Now, going into a game like this, I'd always think, if you go back sort of 20 years when Sutton versus Wimbledon, at Sutton in sort of February, the pitch has gone a little bit.
Ronnie because Wadsworth, they
all that stuff. Is that now something that benefits the pro club, turning up with a lovely sort of 3G surface to play on? Or is it just something that you're now used to and you're comfortable to play anyone on?
I think it totally depends on the mindset of the manager coming to us. You know, Neil Ardley rang me last year and wanted to train because their pitch was waterlogged and frozen, and they came up and trained. You know, four or five of their older lads had got ideas about the surface. So Akin Fenwick, for example, wouldn't train. He went in the gym. Two or three other older players went in the gym. Now, I've got older players, Jamie Collins and Nicky Bailey, and they love the surface because, you know, it's been proved now with us for 2 years. We've had no hamstrings, no calves, you know, no issues of dragging your body through mud. And we, you know, what people might not know is that we did spend more, you know, probably 150 grand more on our surface than most people do by putting the latex rubber underneath it. And that costs 150 grand. And by doing that, you secure a great surface, and also you secure the carpet, you know, the carpet, which is top quality for a much longer period of time.
Well, that is far too technical.
Will come, but we'll look like dinosaurs in 20 years because everyone will have a 3G pitch, whereas they said a 4G or 6G, whatever.
A 4G, yeah. Well, even with that bit underneath, it's not 4G, no?
Well, you know the 6G we're talking about. basically, we've gone with layers of latex underneath the stone, and, you know, we're talking, it looked like Heathrow Airport when it was laid, so... You know, we have gone and done exactly what Kilmarnock did in the SPL. And, you know, we copied there. You know, we got the same contractors in the same pitch. And, you know, we went and looked at the surface and realised... And there is a big difference between... It's a bit like QPR and Luton in the old days. That was a sand-based Astro on concrete. And people wondered why the ball bounced high. You know, this is a completely different surface, which... What I say to people is, within 5-10 minutes of watching a game, you'll forget you're even watching an Astro or a plastic game. You're watching a normal game of football.
Sure, I agree.
Paul, we're going to let you go, mainly because Dave can't count above five. So, you've already counted about. Hey, good luck this weekend.
Thank you very much.
I mean,
some of us are going to slip in and watch it anyway, regardless of whether the telly are there or not. It's a real pleasure talking to you and seeing how the club has grown. So all the best to you and to Bruce as well. And well done all you're doing, Paul.
Yeah, thanks. Well, cheers, Dave. See you soon.
Cheers, mate. See you. Thanks, Paul
Doswell down at Sutton, joining us on the non-league show. And I said well done to him and to Bruce. And many of the articles that we've read this week about Sutton, Dave, have just said that. It's still, at heart, a non-league club.
Oh, it is. And it was always a very traditional club. We always went, you know, the colours, the shirt and tie. They always had the blazer and tie. I'm going back sort of 20 years ago when I first went there, 30 years ago probably. And it's always had that very traditional ground. But you'd have to say, you know, Paul going back there, what he's achieved now, you know, they're a solid conference side now. You know, as we've said, they've put 1,000 people on the season ticket list. And it's, you know, when I used to go there with various sides, Kaz, there was 300-400. Mm. You know, 300-400 is a good gate. Now they're breaking 1,000 every home game. And, you know, it's great. And... Funny how the shoe's on the other foot now. AFC Wimbledon go there as the league club, and you know, AFC Wimbledon in my time was always the little side that was going to cause the upset, you know. But it's a game that should be in the telly, as should Brentford and Eastleigh. You know, I can't believe that the TV companies have stayed away from two sort of stories like that. You know, Martin Allen going back to Brentford, as we spoke about last week, and AFC Wimbledon going back to where they played their first fixture. You know,
I can't believe it either, Dave.
Oh, and the voice of reason, he speaketh not.
Yeah, finally.
A PR
man. And he's probably on Paul Doswell's lane because he's only around the corner from the ground.
No, that's the thing. I can't believe that my technology let
whoa,
me down.
Whoa. PR yeah. man with the Evo Stick and Ryman Leagues. Dave Waters joins us. Evening, Dave.
Good evening, Karen. And I've just missed my local club on there, haven't I? Sutton United. You've been speaking to Paul Doswell, haven't
well,
you?
You missed the big announcement that they're now playing on 10G.
10G?
And latex, we're both combined. But fear not, you've only missed Paul. Not only, but you have missed Paul. Yeah. We were talking about Sutton, Wimbledon, Brentford, Eastleigh, Wickham, Stourbridge, Barrow, Rochdale and Ipswich, Lincoln. Dave on social media says Lincoln will bring the biggest away support to Portman Road since the stadium went all-seater in 1992. So all those matches...
Really?
Yes, there's a stat for you. There's a stat that Phil Annette from at FA Cup Factfire will love. We're going to talk to him later in the show so that you get the chance, Dave, to talk all things FA Cup. So hold that thought.
Lovely.
Okay, so we were talking with Paul Doswell at Sutton about the benefits of a 3G pitch. You went on to say, Dave Anderson, that maybe we should be up to, was it 10G by now? I think that joke by the end of the show will probably wear a bit thin. Yeah, but someone who enjoys the delights of a 3G pitch and they're taking it one step further is the manager at Harrogate Town, who this week have announced that they're going to go full-time from next season in the National North, or even the National if they get promoted. Simon Weaver is the man in question and joins us now. Hi, Simon.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm all right. What about you then, and this move to full-time? Big step for the club.
Yeah, it's a big leap, really. I think in the right direction. We're trying to have a more professional mindset amongst everyone involved at the club, and by being full-time, that should happen. We want to be training every day of the week, and albeit, you know, we'll give them a few days off still, but we do want to have that full-time outlook on things and hopefully go from strength to strength.
When I mentioned the 3G pitch, which you guys have laid at the club too, will this help? Because I guess you'll be training during the day, which probably means you can flog it at night for others to come and play on.
Yeah, that's very true. It opens it up two more nights a week for that extra revenue stream. And it's been successful so far as a 3G. You know, it's open every day of the week, including Sundays, but on Tuesdays and Thursdays, obviously, it's taken up by our training sessions, so they'll be replaced by some other source of revenue for the club.
Dave Anderson.
Simon, I'm just sort of looking at the managerial side of it, in as much as I know that Terry Brown at Basingstoke is trying a similar situation where, obviously, they go full-time at that level. You're looking at the basis of a young squad. But mm-hmm. I'd imagine you're going to have four or five senior players within that. How do you sort them out for full time, the sort of the 28 to 30 year olds in your squad?
Well, I think we've got to, that's where we've got to earn our money as a backroom staff and the board as well. We've got to work hard at recruiting the right ones or keeping the right ones within our existing playing staff. Obviously, the weeks when you're part-time of pay rise from 39 weeks to 44 at these levels, the clubs that are going to full-time. So there's the added incentive and motivation for players for that. If a player, I've announced it to the players, obviously, before going public, if players, it doesn't fit in with their life plan and they've got a fantastic second job, well, obviously, we can't replace all that income. It's just about talking through it. Now, if their ambition is still to be a full-time footballer, then that's great and it fits in with my mindset. But people will have to make a choice, and obviously we'll have to make a choice on whether those players have that right desire and right mindset and are able to do so.
Sure. No, sorry. Just quickly, Dave, sorry. But Simon, what about your working week then? You know, will it be all mornings like a proper sort of pro setup, there'll be no evenings?
No, we're going to, we don't want to be compromised. You know, one player's already pulled me to one side and he said, you know, will I be able to, is it just mornings and therefore I'll be able to shoot off? And I said, look, what I don't want to get is I'm telling all the players, yes, it's for your full-time footballer, and then allowing a few to nip off at 12 or miss the odd morning. I think once you start to do that, you you encourage a little bit of unrest amongst the whole group. It's all in, and we can't be compromised by any one individual. It has to fit in and align with the club's vision.
Hi Simon, it's Dave here. Good luck with your 3G and all your plans. It is a huge decision, though, isn't it, to go full time? Is it the 3G that's effectively going to pay for this then? Because
it's the challenge of every football club, isn't it, to reduce that deficit that's inevitable from playing wages that have risen over the years, even at these levels. It's not just the 3G, but obviously the 3G plays a major part of the business plan to reduce that deficit. So we're very proactive in marketing the 3G, marketing the player development centre that we've got going locally to encourage kids to come and play on it. But there's a few sources of revenue that we have to work hard and push. It's a good area. People are bought into the football club, which is great. We've got more sponsorship money revenue than ever previously. And the gates are up, fortunately. Now we're going to have to play hard, to increase those gates again, with the aim to reduce that deficit. But it's not going to be, incredible, stupid wages that are thrown at it in order to get gain promotion. What we want to build is a longevity, and a proper football club. Mm-hmm. And to do that, we don't want to be compromised by limited hours on the training pitch. We want good, young, hungry, aspiring players with that blend of those older players with a bit of experience and still with the hunger to go on and do well for the club.
I've been reading about Southport today, obviously League Above, talking that they're accepting now, really, that they have to do this full-time switch as well. When you look at Step 2, Simon, and these huge clubs that are in there with you, Halifax, Stockport, Salford, of course, big money behind them too, Darlington. Do you look at Step 2 now and think, actually, this is the way of the world? Everyone's going to have to go full-time.
Yeah, I think everyone's got their own agendas and mindsets. I think for us, we've done well with young players in the last few years and pushing them on, and that's a big part of it for us. We're all young in the coaching team, and we want to maximise what we're about, and we're hungry to do so. So it's okay getting a magnet board out and talking through the day, but we actually want to put it into practice and improve players and improve our chances of doing well. What other clubs do is their own agenda, and that's fine. But we've seen the likes of Fylde and Kidderminster go full time and be full time at this level, and they're reaping the rewards because they're place one and two in the league now. I think it's getting more and more that way, and so we have to compete if we want to do well for the town.
Simon, all the best of luck with it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Many thanks. Cheers.
Simon Weaver at Harrogate Town on that going full time. I say that, Dave and Dave.
Yeah.
When you do look at it and think, oh, those big teams, Harrogate currently 10th in the National North. Simon was saying Fylde and Kiddie one and two. To get in that, when you've got Darlington and Salford in the playoffs, yeah. Tamworth lurking outside, Stockport 8th as well, all the way down.
I was just looking at the table, actually, and I could be looking at the National League national table. Mm. Because of the size of the teams that you've just mentioned, a few of them there, Kidderminster, Darlington, Salford, Halifax, FC United, Manchester, they're all in there, aren't they? So,
but I think as well, Dave, the big thing for me is people sort of go, when is the right time to make your club full time? And, is it too early, too late? If you can afford to have a full time squad, In the Raymond South, the Raymond Premier or above, if you can afford to do that and you've got a plan to do that, do it. Because being full time, believe me, being full time only gives you an advantage.
But listen, I agree with you, Dave. But what I worry about, after covering, like everybody else, the game for many years now, I've seen so many clubs overstretch themselves.
Well, that's why I said, if you can afford it, if you can afford it and it's within your budget, or someone comes in and goes, there's the money, go and do it. Why would you not let 3-4 mornings to do whatever you want in daylight, fitness, set pieces,
technical stuff. It's a no-brainer for me, and I think that.
Oh yeah, but you're speaking as a manager though, Dave.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, like I asked him that question there, Simon, about the 3G pitch, and asking whether that was going to fund it. Because if I was a fan and we had a brilliant 3G, and I know they're very successful at other clubs, I think you probably could fund a full-time team if you're getting decent crowds and you're at step two or step one, whatever, maybe even step three. Someone like Maidstone when they were down there. But
yeah.
And if you're relying on a sugar daddy, or it's, you know, well, hopefully we'll be okay, it can all go so badly wrong.
Well, ask Margaret, they'll tell you the answer.
Indeed.
Love a bit of doom and gloom. It is the season to be jolly in.
It is New Year.
We've missed you, Dave.
Yeah. just to add some more gloom to it, shall we? Let's move on, because how much is too much to pay for football? For over a month now, a section of Clapton fans have been boycotting their team after prices were put up by a pound. This in Essex, of course. After a 4-0 win this week, though, the players went outside of the ground to celebrate with the fans. Jerry Giaretti joins us. He's tweeted saying, 3 points, a clean sheet. Thanks to the supporters, we win and sing together. Hiya, Jerry.
Hello, you're
at. For people that haven't seen this on social media, we'll tweet it. We'll play a bit of it too. This is you and the rest of the team going outside and singing with what's known as the Clapton Ultras. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So why did you do it?
Because basically, obviously, we know what's happening with them, the boycott of the pound rise. And obviously, the support that they've given us over the last 2-3 seasons has been powerful, and as I've been at Clapton for that since we had 2 supporters, and now we're averaging at 300. It's their support is like well needed, especially in like, you know, non-league where you don't get paid, like you're coming from a long day of work and that, and support. So we thought we had to show our appreciation to them, regardless of them paying for getting or not, that we'll go out and sing with them, because like I said, we win and sing together. We're a tons family. We're all a big family, you know.
Well, having a look on the website, I mean, we did ask the club to come on the show. We've not heard back from them yet, but they're always welcome. But this pound rise then, the Clapton Ultras, so this big number of support, normally stand in the scaffold area of the ground, for those that don't know. Over 7,000 have come through the gates, which is huge for your level of football. Well, you look at it and there's like 90 most teams get a week, don't they, in this league. But that's the total number that have gone through the gates in 2016. So obviously a huge vocal support. Dave Anderson, you played at the ground, haven't you? Well, not you personally,
I managed there, Kaz, when I was at Harrow, and I'll never forget it. I was there 100 years ago, and when I went back, it looked as if it hadn't been touched in 100 years since. But and it was one of them nights as a manager, and I don't care, I'm retired. I wasn't looking forward to it. It's a rubbish trip for us. It's a ground that's dilapidated, and I don't mind saying that. And I couldn't believe when I went in, and this group of fans, I say group, a big crowd on a Tuesday night, were dancing, singing, flares. And I've always had a soft spot for them since. And I think that I can't understand. Trying to get someone from the club to talk about this is unbelievable. Well, there's been
just to say that the statement on the website says that this extra pound is going directly towards the players' expenses. So that the CEO Vince McBean, running the club, he says that this is where it's going. I mean, sorry, Dave Waters.
No, I was just going to say, ask Jerry. I don't want to put you on the spot, mate. But how do you feel about the price rise that the fans have been asked to pay then? Because you've gone out and supported them. How do you feel about it without, you know, obviously the hours that they made?
Well, I think he's got to be careful, Dave, how young. He's at the club, you know.
I know, yeah, I know.
In my opinion, like I've said it in a playlist, to me it's a bit harsh, you know, but I don't know what goes on in the background and what needs to be paid and the bills and that. You know, I'm just a footballer. I go on the pitch, put a kit on and just kick the ball around for 90 minutes, then leave, you know. I don't have to deal with the expense. So I can't comment on what that is. Where the money's going or about a pay rise, you know.
Is it affecting you guys off the pitch as well, Jerry? Sorry, last question, quick one. Is it affecting you on the pitch knowing that this boycott's going on in the background? Would you, I mean, hope you'd obviously like to see if you get back together, wouldn't you?
Well, obviously it plays in your head, obviously, when you're playing, because they're a presence, isn't they? The fans, and they're there. They're brilliant, you know. Yeah. I was at Clapton when it was embarrassing, like the guy was saying on the phone a minute ago about going there. The pitch and that's not the best. The facilities is not the best, to be truthful. And it used to be so embarrassed to wear a captain top. When I was there at 17, it was like you used to have a captain badge on and people take the mic at you, you'd laugh at you. But since the fans have come, like, it's gave a bit of like power to captain. People come there and respect captain a bit more. Now it's funny how the fans have made other teams and that come there and respect captain more. But I mean, I remember like a couple of seasons ago before they come, people used to come there and think we was a walkover team. But they come there now and you can see our league's positions and the cup wins speak for themselves, and the improvement's only started since the fans have been there, you know.
And seeing the reaction, Jerry, of the fans that are outside the ground as well. Just so they'd stayed out there the whole time you're in there winning this match 4-0. That must kill you as fans to hear these goals going in and to hear that. And for you to go out and celebrate with them must have meant a lot anyway.
Yeah, well, that for us, we don't get paid. So that at the end is like our rewards, you know. It's like someone like me, I love jumping around with them at the end of the game once we've won. It's like you're not getting no money. It's better to just have a feel with the fans.
What it's all about.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Jerry, thanks for coming on. Good luck with the rest of the season. And fingers crossed this sorts itself out soon so the fans can get back to where they belong.
Okay, cheers. Thank you.
Cheers, Jerry. Take care.
And guys, you know, in all honesty, you know, I know people sort of said, you have to go to see it to believe it when these guys are in the Ultras. You know, it's a real occasion. Like at a
you know, the fact that there's over 7,000 have gone through the turnstiles in 2016. Of course, that's over all the home games. But they had the biggest away following, like 308. In that league, your average, some of the high attendances are 90 or 100.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you get 90 or 100 at that level, you're doing great. You know, they're more sort of 40s, 50s. Because my big thing is, if I owned Clapton Football Club, I'd negotiate with these people, I'd talk to them, I'd bring them on board, I'd get them involved more. And this isn't the first time we've spoke about this set of supporters and the actual owners clashing about different stuff. Mm. There's football clubs would love these people to turn up and support them.
What we will do is continue to try and get hold of Vince McBean.
Yes, please.
CEO, down there, and perhaps we'll send Dave Anderson along to. That sounds threatening. I was about to say just to watch a game.
Listen, I'm an old man now. I'm no threat to anybody.
Talking of old men, stroke young men.
Don't give up, Dave.
Yeah, don't. Have you seen that Tristan Lewis, formerly of Hayes and Yedding, has gone to Welling United with Harry Wheeler? This after Jamie Day, who many will know, and Aidy Pennock, many will know, of course, of Forest Green Rovers, previously at Welling, who are back at Welling and doing so well, have gone to Gillingham, taken up roles at Gillingham.
Yeah, I noticed it, my first thing that came into my head was how lucky Jamie Day is. And I know he's very good at what he does, but he's had some great opportunities. And I'd imagine Mark Goldberg won't be particularly happy about it, but will accept it.
One down, could he? It's another great.
No, I don't. No, I don't think he can turn down. I think the other thing we should say is that Justin Edinburgh came out of our level of football as a manager, sort of Fisher, did well all through his non-league career and then moved into the pro game. I think he'll be back full-time in the near future. Really good manager. But it's one of them difficult things. But I sincerely hope that Jamie stays for 5 minutes this time.
Without trying to change the subject, but I'm so proud of what's been going on this week. Have you seen all the moves, like the January transfer window as well? With Alex Reid, he went to Fleetwood yesterday from Marshall Olympic.
Yeah.
And you got the guy Cohen Bramall, and he's been linked with a move to Arsenal, and it's just everywhere today. I've actually had to write a story saying, you know, I couldn't wait for it to be confirmed. I said one, you know, is he the next big? I think my headline is he the next big move? And I think he's going to be actually.
The kid from Harrogate, Dave, we spoke about it at the top of the show. When
Hendersford.
Hendersford.
Or Hendersford, Hendersford.
Oh, were you chatting about it before?
Yeah, you know when you were switching your computer off.
Sorry, too.
But you know what do you know what I like about that is...
Is you just, can cut it out?
Yeah. talking of cutting it out, shall we move on? Because a new year and a new chairman up next. Ken Kindersley has taken the role at Hereford FC, the Evo Stick Southerners, and he joins us now. Hiya, Ken.
Good evening, Caroline.
How are you? New year, new job. All of
over
the above.
The moon.
Well, yeah, no wonder you're over the moon. You must be like a kid in a sweet shop, because this is the club you love, isn't it?
Well, I mean, what fan of a football club offered the chair wouldn't take it? Well, probably a sensible one wouldn't, but I did.
Yeah.
Don't worry. You're amongst your fellow kin. I mean, the minute I got involved at Chelmsford, it ruined it for me, but I loved it all the same.
So nothing better.
No, exactly. And it's not like you haven't been involved with the club anyway, running the club and essentially just making sure that everything in this kind of difficult period, really, for the club, which is fair to say, isn't it, keeps going.
Yeah, very difficult. I've been a fan since, I think it was 1958, when my dad took me to watch Hereford United play QPR in the FA Cup. And you won't believe it, but we actually won that game 6-1. Was the England goalkeeper at the time was in goal. He collided with a post in the first couple of minutes, carried off, no substitutes, and we came out 6-1 winners. Been a fan ever since. 50 years. Work away from Hereford kept me away from the club until the last 10 years when we travelled over from Cambridgeshire. I was a trust member, but I wasn't actually active in the supporters trust, and I got a call out of the blue about 2 years ago. Would I help coordinate a volunteer workforce to get the stadium, which was in a sorry state, back up and running?
Hi Ken, if I can jump in. Ken, it's Dave here. You know, I work for the league itself, and I was chatting to the chairman yesterday, you know, Terry Barrett, and he was actually saying how proud they are and what, you know, the profile that you are bringing to the Eversick Southern League at the moment is fantastic. I mean, where are you? I know, obviously, you're a former football league club and all the rest of it, but where are all these fans coming from at the moment? You had over 4,000, didn't you, over Christmas for the Evesham game? I mean, it was bigger than an awful lot of football league games.
That's difficult. I think there's two things that's brought the fans back. One is you don't know what you've got until you lose it. We lost it. We were lucky, very lucky. We got a really good crew of people who put a club and a proposal together which regained the stadium for us. The stadium belongs to Herefordshire Council. We've got a very good relationship now with the council. Initially, it was very hard work to persuade them that we could put a business case together to justify to them that we could financially operate and not be a burden on them and not have another liquidation on their hands and an empty stadium. We succeeded with that. When we opened the doors, the number of people that came in and said to myself and colleagues, tears in their eyes, I never thought I'd walk through these doors again. And I'll tell you what, you all love football and you all know how emotional that is when you get that sort of feeling amongst fans. Add to that the football that Peter Beadle's putting on the pitch for them, and I think that's a winning combination.
DJ, I mean, you're running away with it. I mean, have the bookies closed their bets or whatever on you winning that title? Would have.
I don't know.
Close.
I'm an eternal pessimist. I think we're always going to lose the next game. And all the lads say to me, as long as I say that, they're happy.
Well, before Dave jumps in, or Caroline, one more for me. What's your big thing that you want to do over the next years? I mean, you're the head honcho now. What would you like to? What's your dream for the next 12 months?
To keep the club alive financially, that is the most important element in what we're trying to do. Secondly, to develop youth football, because I think the future of our size of club, is with youth football. So youth football is quite important to us. That's something that we cannot ignore. And good football. Our fans love good football, and they will come and watch good football, even if we lose.
And maybe heading for a second promotion this time next year.
Well, our original objective was 2 promotions in 3 years. We've had 1 in 1 year so far. At the moment, we're on course, but I'm the pessimist. So until it's mathematically conferred, I am not going to count my chickens.
I don't know.
I wouldn't like to forecast that far ahead. I'm not going to tempt fate.
A wise man, indeed.
Well, just for the stats, men and women amongst you, only unbeaten side in the top 8 divisions, scored 68, conceded 17, but top of the fair play table too, Ken, which is
how many games unbeaten are the total? I'm starting to get nervous.
Yeah,
we're unbeaten this season.
Yeah,
okay.
Ken, do you know that Dave Anson, why he's getting nervous is he currently holds the world record with AFC Wimbledon for most games
British,
unbeaten. The
British record.
Oh, the British record, sorry.
Another good club, Wimbledon. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, well, if you love football, you love them all, don't you, really?
Too right, Ken. I'm feeling the love from down here. So, next up, Ken, another big game for you as well. Do you feel like you can keep this unbeaten run going? And when they say, the boys say about how far you can go, is there a level that you think is sustainable currently for the club? I mean, financially sustainable.
If I'm perfectly honest, at the moment, the trouble is we've got a League One stadium. It has been neglected over the years, and it does take an awful lot of money to keep it up to scratch. For example, our statutory inspections, even before any work is carried out as a result of those inspections, is over £10,000 a year.
Blimey.
Now, that is a bit of a millstone, but we know full well that without Edgar Street, we would not have the fan base that we've currently got, and our fans are absolutely fantastic, believe you me. They are a great group. They all came together, hundreds of them, to help us get the stadium sorted out. We've still got a volunteer force on match day of somewhere between 60 and 70 people. Gosh. Without them, we would be in trouble. There's no doubt about that. But we've all pulled together. They're a fantastic group. Where could we go? If I'm being realistic, at the moment, my guess would be national, possibly national north and south, maybe one above, but it's going to be in that ballpark. But we're going to have to generate more commercial income to support that. And of course, every time that you do something, a promotion usually results in a bigger wage bill. The more competitive the games get, the less the win ratio will reduce. Consequently, attendances might be affected, income will be affected. That'll have a knock-on effect with bars, hospitality, and all the rest of it. So to be realistic, around about national north-south level, maybe one more. But we have got to think seriously about the commercial side.
Well, Ken, with you at the helm, I don't doubt it at all. Well done on getting your dream job. Long may it continue, and hopefully we'll talk to you many, many more times in the future when you're winning promotion.
Thank you. That would be wonderful. Call me anytime.
Yeah. We'll hold you to that.
To be fair, Kaz, we'll be calling them about 2 weeks, the way they're going, won't we?
Yeah, exactly. That would be secured.
Tell Peter to keep after that record as well, Ken. You're on your way. You know.
Oi.
I'll
have a word with the manager.
Yeah. Well, 24 games played in the league this season. When that record goes, we'll send Dave Anson down to present you, to hand over the keys.
It'll
to be
a record. Pleasure.
Yeah.
Naked on the
fantastic.
Pitch.
Fantastic.
No, not naked. Not naked. Take care, Kenny. Enjoy your dinner after that.
Thanks very much. Bye, Caroline.
The new chairman down at Hereford. I say new chairman. When you look at how long he's been involved in that club, I said kid in a sweet shop, and that's it, isn't it, boys? It's a delight to hear that.
It was great to hear passion, and sorry, Dave, just briefly.
No.
You know, he's definitely related to me the way he's already worrying about cash. And stuff. But he's right to, although I reckon they're going to be absolutely fine with those kind of crowds they're pulling in. I don't know what they're charging at the gate, but, you know, that's a great income must be coming from those gates.
No, and you're right, Kaz. And, you know, I've worked with a lot of sort of chairman over the years, and you know that they're all different characters, but the one thing that goes through them is they absolutely love their football club. You know, they love it through and through. You have to remember, and he's about to find out, is the chairman now is iconic. He sits on a pedestal with the manager. So
is the manager on a pedestal?
Well, I mean, to be fired at, you know, if things aren't going well,
if anything goes wrong,
the manager gets some stick. But it also turns to the chairman now in football, and he'll find that he gets a bit of stick as well. So but you're living the dream. That's all you can do is live the dream.
Talking of living the dream, the winners today of the factors were announced just a couple of hours before we record the show. These the FA Cup Team Awards, as voted by you through at FA Cup Fact File on social media. Phil, the man behind the awards, joins us now. Hiya, Phil.
Hi, Caroline. How are you?
I'm all right. How did the Oscars for non-league football go?
Went very well. Very well indeed. Extremely well received. A lot of people taking part. Nearly 5,000 votes in total. So I'm very pleased. And we have some very worthy winners.
Well, what you don't know before we get to the winners is that I'm wearing a full dress outfit. Dave and Dave are in bow tie for the occasion, aren't you both? Just bow tie.
Indeed, straighten my tie now.
Yeah, you straighten your tie.
As if I had no how to do one up.
Yeah, he's got one of the ones on elastic. So we had the Friend of Non-League, the Special Team Award, the Surprise of the Cup, the Performance of the Cup, and Team of the Cup. Let's start off with the Friend of Non-League first, then. This went to Oxford United. Phil, this was a great gesture by them.
It was indeed, yes. I mean, they played at Merston in the, first round, and then they donated their gate receipts back to the host club when normal circumstances you share FA Cup receipts. So I thought that was a fantastic gesture.
The runner-up was
the Blackpool fans. They did a great gesture as well for Kidderminster Harriers, but the Oxford United fans managed to get more votes, and so they won the award.
I love it. I equally love, and that's mainly because we have a love for the Cowley brothers on this show. We've seen them grow like children and release them to the world of non-league football.
I've seen them get on like children as well.
Lincoln City won the Special Team Award. And I know this was because of the amount of fans they managed to attract for the second round against Oldham. I'm sure you've seen this today, Phil, as well. Just they're taking the most amount of fans, I think, to Ipswich, that Ipswich have had away fans to the ground that they've had since the new ground was built.
I know, it's a fantastic enthusiasm for the FA Cup, and it's a wonderful spirit from the Lincoln fans, and well deserved on the award. And they've got a great chance at Ipswich because Ipswich don't have the best FA Cup record of late. They haven't won for 7 years, and with Lincoln flying high in the National League, I think that's a great opportunity for an upset for Lincoln.
I hope you're right, mainly because I'm doing Radio 2 on Monday and I've got to try and get a guest on from the FA Cup and hopefully
that'd be perfect.
Yeah, I'll pick up the phone to Danny and say, oi, what are you doing? When we look at Lincoln and how well they've done then, I'll get onto the other awards in a minute, Phil. Do you look at them out of all the teams that are still left, Stourbridge, Eastleigh, Sutton, Barrow, do you look at all those teams and think Lincoln then have the best chance statistically?
Well, it's hard to know for certain, but I think all five of them have an extremely strong chance of progressing. In a way, they might be upset not to have got a Premier League team, but they've all got teams that are well within their grasp on their day that they could beat them. And Stourbridge proved that when they beat Northampton in the last round, anything can happen.
Yeah, they got your team of the cup, the first time the club's got to the third round.
Yeah, it's a fantastic achievement. I mean, they've been the FA Cup non-league team for the last few years. Made the second and now the third round for four times in the last eight seasons, which is a fantastic achievement for Step 7, Level 7 club. It's a brilliant achievement, and they well deserve their award. Good luck to them on the weekend.
Tell us about the last two awards then, Surprise of the Cup and Performance of the Cup.
Well, the Surprise of the Cup went to Westfields. They had a fantastic run, starting off in the extra preliminary round back in the first weekend of August. And we're still standing by the first round in November. So well-deserved winners there. Top scorers as well with 25 goals. So they really, really were the surprise of the FA Cup. And then the performance of the Cup, this was probably the hardest one to see who was going to win because there was many great performances. But Barrow just managed to nip it ahead, I think, of Stourbridge with their comeback victory over League One Bristol Rovers. So a fantastic year for non-league clubs this season, and any one of the ones that were nominated for that performance of the Cup would have been deserved winners.
I'm going to give you a round of applause. The boys will try to, but it's as much as they can master the technology to hold, let alone clap at the same time, Phil. And for you personally, Phil, we have these teams still left in it. I am certain that at least one of those non-league teams will get through. For you, how has this season ranked so far in the FA Cup?
Well, I think it's done really well for non-league clubs. It's surprising, really. After last year, when only Eastleigh made it to the third round, we might have thought, well, maybe we weren't going to see lots of non-league clubs this far in the competition. But five clubs, that's only been bettered twice in the past since the current format of the FA Cup was put into place. So that's a pretty good showing. And hopefully we'll see clubs in the fourth round for a change.
It's been a vintage year, actually, Phil, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think we've had some great moments.
Phil, as always, you have been the icing on the cherry, on the icing on the cake.
I think you need an award. Yeah. I think you should get an award. All the work you do, Phil, you know, you make it great for everybody involved in the cup, you know?
I've got a dirty mug you can have.
I think it's like a little bit more generous.
I look forward to that. It'll be fantastic. I appreciate your comments, and I mean, I love the FA Cup, as you know, but I do love to treat the non-league world as equals with the Football League and the Premier League when it comes to the FA Cup. And I think it's fantastic what all the clubs do and all the players. And I look forward to Saturday and Sunday to see how they get on.
Too right, too right. We'll be there with you. Phil, no greater reward than my heart is always with you. Phil Annette, thank you very much, as always. And do follow at FA Cup Fact File, the only place to get the best stats, the best love of not just non-league football, but FA Cup from beginning to end. Is with Phil at FA Cup Fact File, and check out the factors as well. Well done to all those clubs that won some of those awards this season. Hey, boys! Yep. That's nearly it for this week. Only time just to tell you, after picking up over 100,000 members, Cornerstone are now so confident that once men try their razor and shaving products, they won't go back to their old razor. So now you can get an award-winning razor from just £4 with £10 off. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk/NL show to get started with your razor. cornerstone.co.uk/NL show. So you've got the award in one hand, you're clapping in the other. You've got to find somewhere for your razor, boys.
I'm heading on online in the moment, and I'll be shaved by tomorrow with Paul.
Well done. Now, I was going to end on a happy note, but some news just reaching us on the non-league show about Kingstonian Football Club, and this is something that will be dear to your heart, Dave Anderson. It's something we've discussed on the show many times over the years, from initial incarnation on BBC London. Kingstonian, of course, AFC Wimbledon bought their ground. Questions over what would happen to Kingstonian after it. Well, once again, according to the local paper, their future has been thrown into jeopardy because fans have rejected the chance to take over the club. Doubts over the board's promise to build a new ground. Fans have voted on whether to become a community-owned club over the autumn. Only 56 supporters moved to take control compared to 111 against as well. So we'll look into that and see what's coming up next with that. But certainly the Surrey comment, the local paper saying, K's in crisis, Fans reject chance to take over Kingstonian as uncertainty over club's future grows. So we'll have a look at that. Big club, Kingstonian.
Oh, massive club, guys. You know, like, remember playing against them, you know, when before AFC Wimbledon sort of bought the ground, or even were there. Going to Kays was always one of them fixtures you looked out for. Great sort of trophy record over the years.
That's where I first started following them, at Wembley, the old Wembley. I remember I actually ripped a pair of trousers and my suit on the in the press box where I caught it. Anyway, it was a great day. I think the they beat Kettering one year, didn't they? And who was it the other year? But anyway, they're a massive club. They are let's hope the paper is.
You've got to be scared. You know, the fear factor comes in that if Wimbledon get what they want is to move back to Merton, and we can't deny them that. And Kays, there's talk of Chelsea have already bought the Kingstonian ground, or I'm trying to remember the name of it often, the Fan King's Stadium, King's Meadow. That you just fear. I always fear for teams that don't have their own ground. You know, we've seen Wilston manage to get back, and we've seen Hendon now move. But it's a real time in a football club's life that you worry for it. And Kays are no bigger than Wilston, and they had to go through it, you know. So I have a real fear for it. If the fans, I wonder why the fans didn't feel they wanted it, Kaz.
There's some talk over the not thinking that the Chessington project, which is where they were going to build their ground, would happen, but. Like I say, we'll have a look at it. We'll get in touch with the club, and we'll get in touch with the fans as well. And that's kind of what we do. If there is something that you want us to talk about, you can get in touch with us at Non-League Show, and we'll have a look at it for you as well. Because what's important is that these clubs survive and they continue to. So at Non-League Show, if there's a story, or you can get in touch with Anderson or Waters or anyone else besides, and they will put you in touch with us too. Anything else you wish to add, boys?
Well, yes, I'd like to say that someone just put me right during the week on Twitter. I've been sort of saying, listen, we say most of the stuff I say, I can't remember 5 minutes later anyway, but I've been talking about the transfer window. And someone on Twitter said during the week, Dave, there is no transfer window in non-league.
Yeah, but I was going to defend you, and you wouldn't have had to bring that up, brought that up, because
you're going to the professional game.
No, my point was, I've always understood it, and maybe I've been misunderstanding you, Anderson. I've always understood that you've been saying because of the transfer window in the professional game, that has some impact and knockback on what happens slower down.
And as much as I'd like to hide behind that magnificent story, the truth is, the truth of the matter is, and you can only be truthful, is that I thought that the window was in Conference National. I didn't think it was below that, but I thought the Conference National sides were part of the window. And it just shows you, because you talk nonsense every week, and it's nice to know that some people actually listen to it.
Yeah,
we all make mistakes, Dave. Don't worry about that.
To your credit, it was only scrapped from this season. So to your credit,
okay, yes,
let's just say that was on last season's show. Dave Anderson, never wrong for long.
Yeah, I love it. That's good. That's going to be my new model.
Oh, I thought you'd say that's going to be on my gravestone.
Yeah.
What good is it to you then? Dave Waters, thank you. Dave Anderson, thank you. A reminder, you can rate us on iTunes. And if you want to put our show up or use it for anything, you can grab us for free via nonleaguefootballshow.com.
Listen next week. Yeah, listen next week and you might get Waters for the whole show.
I hope so. I really hope so.
Just to add, there will be a limitation on the number of loans and no club will be able to name more than 5 substitutes in any one competitive fixture. Those are the rules and they're the ones we're sticking with. Good night, everyone.
All right, night-night.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.